We're good to go. Okay, so good evening, everybody, once again, and welcome back to this special edition of Tzur B'Marabanan. We've been going through the laws of Kashrut, going through Volume 5, and we'll continue that with Volume 6. This is the second of a special edition which has come out due to the circumstances that we face ourselves in, looking at some of the practical halachot regarding coronavirus. On Chol HaMoed Pesach, we had the first shiur, was dealing with pandemics in halacha in general. This one's going to be a bit more specific, focusing on primarily on Hilchot Tefillah.
Right.
And Hilchot Tefillah, which a lot of new questions which have come up during this time, particularly regarding Minyanim and regarding shuls, which have been closed and which are still closed. One thing we need to bear in mind as we go through these halachot is that obviously the situation is dynamic and it's changing all the time, and things which were published, you know, even a few days ago or a few weeks ago, may no longer be relevant or may have changed. And just earlier this week, you know, somebody was asking me, we'll see some of the Chavot of Rav Moshe Weiss. Earlier this week, somebody said to me, well, how can it be? He's in Israel. How can it be that he is advocating for the shul still not to open, but his shul has opened? Again, this is in Israel. This isn't here. It's a different situation. I said to him, what are you talking about? He said, well, we just saw this video of him saying that it's a danger to open all the shuls. And a few days ago, he opened his shul. I said, yeah, of course, because that video was recorded 2.5 weeks ago. So, you know, you have to realize that things are changing. Rav Moshe Weiss himself, who we'll quote extensively tonight, as usual, he's published a book about halachot of the current situation. It's already come out in 3 different editions. That's how quickly things are changing. And it's really fascinating. Part of the discussion tonight is to see the halachic process in real time, as these things are being developed. So, without any further ado, let me share the screen. I did send on the Surba groups earlier the PDF for those who want to follow it themselves. And if anybody didn't get that, I'm happy to send it to share with him afterwards. But you should be able to see it on the screen now. Yeah, Tzur B'Marabanan. This show will be printed in Volume 7. Volume 6 has just gone to print, and we'll be starting that soon. This will appear in Volume 7, Halachic Perspectives on Coronavirus, Part 2. And so we're going to be talking about, as I said, talking about tefillah, and specifically tefillah b'tzibur. This is something which has been unique, and it's a bit old now to use the word unprecedented, but really unprecedented times that we faced over the past few months, where no tefillah b'tzibur, and things are slowly changing. Now we are starting to think about when shuls will reopen again, and in some places they have opened, some other countries. But nonetheless, we've had a situation where the conventional tefillah b'tzibur, getting together at least in one room, in one building, and coming together and make a minyan, has not been possible. The question is, what can be done, and are there other scenarios that would still fulfill that requirement of tefillah b'tzibur? And there may be. First of all, the Rambam, source number 1 in Chot Tefillah, tells us just what is so important and what is so critical about tefillah b'tzibur. He says, tefillah t'tzibur nishmat tamid. This is a sentence which is you hear very often when you have these mass prayer rallies and things like that. They'll quote this. So, which means Hashem does not reject the prayer of the many. He says, even if there are certain individuals within the tzibur who may not have the same merits as others, nonetheless, there is an added value of coming together as a community. Now, the halachic parameters of tefillah b'tzibur. And therefore, says Rambam, lo yitpaleh b'yachid kol zman shechol yitpaleh l'matzibur. Therefore, a person should not pray alone whenever he's able to pray with a community. There's a lot of discussion in the poskim as to the exact requirement of davening with a minyan. Is it an obligation? Is it just a good thing to do? It's not our subject for tonight. But as you can see very clearly in the Rambam, says if a person has the opportunity to, he should. It's interesting, by the way, as well, the Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about the requirement to daven with a minyan, the word he uses is yishtadel. Yishtadel, which means to try. There's yishtadel adam leperel minyan, that a person should try and daven with the tzibur. And the poskim also discuss, why is it that the Shulchan Aruch writes yishtadel? He says you should try, and he doesn't write chayav. So there are those who say, from the fact that it doesn't say chayav, but it says yishtadel. It says you don't have to, you should try, and if you can't, you can't. And you know, if it's a little bit more difficult, so that's it. There are others who take a complete opposite approach. They say when the Shulchan Aruch says yishtadel, the reason he says that is because you might think certain scenarios not ours. Ours we'll get to in a moment. But certain scenarios under normal circumstances where a person might have an exemption from Tefillah B'Tzibur. And a person could say, you know, I don't really need to go and daven with a minyan. It's inconvenient. It's too difficult. It's whatever. He says, no, ishtayel. He says, you really have to try. Even if you think you have an exemption, you really have to try. Now, as I said, and I'll say it in the same breath, that's not talking about our scenario, where there is a question of pikuach nefesh, where there is a question where it is dangerous to get together in a minyan, and it's putting people's lives at risk, even if it seems somewhat removed, even if it's a sfek pikuach nefesh. Certainly we know in halacha that sfek pikuach nefesh, even a doubtful saving of a life, will suspend not everything, but just about everything in the Torah for the vast majority of mitzvot, and certainly tefillah b'tzibur would be included amongst that. So that's the first thing to say. I know it's been said a lot over the past few months, which I didn't have to repeat it, but whatever reason has to be repeated. And that is that if it's dangerous, if it goes against the guidelines, you know, if it goes against the law because it's dangerous, so then one should not be getting together and davening tefillah b'tzibur. And in such a situation, one's mitzvah would be not to daven with the tzibur. But nonetheless, is there a way, maybe when it does conform with the guidelines, and when it's not causing a danger, to create some sort of outdoor minyanim? And this is something which, from the beginning of this in Israel, was discussed very widely in other countries as well. And now, you know, people are starting to think about it a little bit more here. Now the situation has moved on. Again, when I speak about this, I'm not endorsing or encouraging or expressing any sort of opinion as to whether right now these kind of minyanim should be formed. But we're looking at the halakha that if there's a situation where they could be formed theoretically, would they constitute a minyan? That's a very important question that we have to answer. So the source of all of this, and as I said, it's fascinating that we are looking through the halachic discussion in real time. And where would you find a source for it? Maybe in an unlikely place. We have a Mishnah Gemara Masechet Psachim. And the Gemara is discussing the Korban Pesach. The halakha of the Korban Pesach was that it all had to be eaten within one specific location. Now, whether that specific location is referring to the house or whether it's referring to Yerushalayim ben Achomot, but to, you know, inside the area of the Beit HaMikdash and inside that area of Yerushalayim, that's a machloket rishonim. But nonetheless, one location has to be in. And says the Mishnah, in source number two, it says, Eval sheyatza miktzato. So you have this Korban Pesach and you have this lamb which you're eating, and part of a limb has gone out of the boundary. So you're standing on the edge of where it's allowed to be eaten, and part of it's inside and part of it's gone out. Chotech ad shemagia le'etzim v'kolef ad shemagia la'peg v'chotech. So essentially you have to cut off that part of the bone and that part of the animal that went outside the location. And how do you know whether it was in the right place or not? It says, min agaf lifnim kelifnim, min agaf lachutz kelachutz, achalonot v'avi achoma kelifnim. So at this point, we'll go according to Rashi's interpretation, that we're dealing with the city, with the area of, I guess, by the city gates. And he says, so if it's from the doorway and inside, it's considered as if it's inside. And if it's from that doorway and outwards, it's considered as though it's on the outside. What we see from here is that you can have basically a room or a gate or whatever it is, and people that are standing on one side, people standing on the other side, are considered to be in two separate locations. And then the Gemara says, just as we have this halakha, these two separate locations of two separate halakhot, that's the case regarding the Korban Pesach. So too, says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'chein la'tfila. He says, so too for tefila. I.e., let's have a look in the English here, which is not a direct translation from the Gemara, but an explanation, in that one who's standing outside the doorway cannot be included with those praying inside. But we might have thought intuitively, you know, you're all in the same place. No, there are halachic parameters, there are halachic boundaries as to how we can determine who is, you know, inside the shul, who's outside, who is part of the tzibur that's praying together. So that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. There is a disagreement. Pliga de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, afilu machitza shel barzel, ena mafseket ben Yisrael aviyam shebashamayim. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, no, there is not even a barrier of iron separating between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. i.e. barriers are irrelevant with regard to prayer. You can see there in the annotation, in the translation, because, again, what we're dealing with barriers, not between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but seemingly we're dealing with barriers between different people that would potentially make up the minyan. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi rules that the barriers are irrelevant, but Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says that the barriers are very relevant. And this is the accepted halakha. This is how the Rishonim Paskin, this is how the Shulchan Aruch rules. You can see it in source number 3. And this is in the Siman where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the laws of Kaddish. And he discusses also what makes up a tzibur to be able to say that. Tzalich sheyu kol asar makom echad v'shleach tzibur imahem. So you need all 10 people to be in one place. And the Shleach Tzibur needs to be together with them in that place as well. In a moment we'll explain why he singles out the Shleach Tzibur. So somebody who's standing by the doorway, as we saw before in the Mishnah, somebody who's standing by the doorway, standing on the outside, is considered as if they're outside the room, and they would not be able to combine with the other 9 people to make the minyan. Now, in the neck, that is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yud Gimel. Again, in a moment we're going to talk about where everybody's standing outside. It may get a little bit more complicated. But in the very next if the Shulchan Aruch tells us, "Mishomed achore bet haKnesset, ubenayim chalon afilu gavoa kama komot, afilu eno lachav alba v'malelam panav misham mistaref mahem lasala." So here we have an interesting halacha. It seems to be that what we just seen in source number 3 was that if you have the 10 people, part of the 10 people, standing in a different room, they wouldn't make up a minyan together. Source number 4 seems to imply the opposite. He says somebody who's standing behind the shul, right? Mishomed achorei bet haKnesset, but even there is a window in between them. And even if it's a few floors up, as long as Malelem Panav, as long as he shows them his face, i.e. they can see each other, even though there is this partition in between, Mitztaref imahem lasada, they could count together as part of a minyan. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is probably based on the Rashba. The Rashba has a tshuva. I don't think we have the original language here in the book. But the Rashba has a tshuva, and actually he's discussing at the case of a Shleach Tzibur, that the Shleach Tzibur is standing on a, in Hebrew it's called a teva, in English, makor bima, he's on maybe a raised platform, or he's in his own area, which has walls around it, has partitions. And as we said again, these are halachic partitions. Reach up to the requirements of a mechitza, as we have in Yilchot Shabbat and different places. And so you might think that the Shleach Tzibur is in a separate reshut, is in a separate domain, where everybody else in the shul is. Maybe he's in the front of the shul, maybe in the back of the shul, wherever it is. And the Rashba was asked whether they actually join together and whether that can count, to say Kaddish. And the Rashba says he can, and he gives 2 reasons. He says reason number 1, just don't think this is a separate partition. You know, maybe if he's in a separate room, that would be something else. But he's standing in this teva, in this bima. He says that bima is batel to the shul. You know, that's not its own domain. It's part of the shul. It's part of the room that he's in, and therefore that would be okay. The second reason that he says the Rashba is because they can all see each other. He says once you can see each other, then they would join together to make the minyan. It's worth noting, and we'll see soon as well, the Rashba does mention a couple of times in the Tshuva, he says, Efshar Loma. It was possible, meaning it may not be that he's not in the case of the Shleach Tzibur who's standing there. That would certainly, according to everybody, that would count as part of the minyan. But he says this idea that just by seeing each other would be enough to make the minyan, that the Rashba uses the language of Efshar. But anyway, so we have the Shulchan Aruch over here, which seems to indicate that as long as they can see each other, they can count together as part of the minyan. That is based on, again, as I said, it's connected to that Tshuva of the Rashba, but it's also connected to another halacha, which the Shulchan Aruch brings, not regarding tefillah, but regarding zimun. In source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch talks about shtei chaburot sheochlot b'bayit echad or b'shnei batim. You have 2 groups of people that are sitting and eating in one house or in 2 houses. By the way, many times in the Shulchan Aruch, we discussed this before Pesach, but many times you see in the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara, they use the word bayit, it's often referring to a room. In those days, we're talking about a house, you're talking about what we refer to as a room. So in separate rooms, אם מקצתן רואים אלו את אלו מצטרפות לזימון, במלא ואינם מצטרפים. So he says, as long as, even though they're in separate rooms, as long as they can see each other, they would join together and they would count as part of the zimun. And the question is how far we extend this. So there are those who, this idea that as long as they can see each other, even in separate rooms, they can count for a zimun. Would it be the same halakha necessarily regarding tefillah, tefillah b'tzibur? So one reason why it might be more stringent is that when it comes to coming together as a zimun, we're not talking about a davar shebikdusha. We're not talking about saying extra brachot as a result. We're not talking about saying mentioning Hashem's name, like we would in kedusha and things like that. Baruch Hu. So there, it might be more lenient. But when it comes to tefillah, we still poskim are a little bit more hesitant than relying on it to such an extent. But based on the Shulchan Aruch in Nundala in Yudala that we saw already, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says over there. Again, the Shulchan Aruch telling us that if you're in separate rooms, or there's a partition between you, but you can see each other, they could daven together, they could count as a minyan. Says the Mishnah Berurah, source number 6, the after yeshev sek mechitza b'nehem, even though there is a partition between them, hevandan alelem panav dome lemashum vada kaman b'siman kuftariyeh, since they can see each other's faces, that's similar to the case of Zimun, that as long as all the different people can see each other, they would count to do a Zimun together. He says, im ken, lefi ze pashut ha'umdim be'ezrat nashim, v'mchitza mafseket yesh chalon. So he says, sometimes you might have a case when, in some shuls where you, let's say, talking about a weekday morning, shachrit, where there are no women there, and then some of the men are standing in the men's side, and some of the men are standing in the women's side behind the mechitza. Would they count as part of the minyan? He says, as long as they can see each other, that would be okay. He says, v'kol shekenim yesh biladav asara. Certainly, if there were 10 standing in one side on its own, you used to have somebody else standing behind the partition, that would be considered tefillah b'tzibur. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah continues. He says, afal pichen, yoter tov im benekel hu lo lered lo bet ha-knesset. He says, if it's possible and you can just go and stand in the same place, that's better. De yesh me'achlonim shecholkin al ikar adin, v'sovrim de inyaneinu eno dome klal lezimun. That's what I alluded to before, that there are many poskim and many achronim who hold that no. That when it comes to zimun, we have this idea that as long as they see each other, they can join. But when it comes to tefillah, we might be more stringent, and we would not allow it. And you can get maybe a hint of this in the Shulchan Aruch in the next source. The same siman we've been looking at before we quoted Seif Yud Dalet. Here we have Seif Yud Chet, where the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im k'tzata asara b'vet ha-knesset, u'k'tzatam ba'azara eina mistaf." He says, if you have part of your 10 people inside the shul, and you have part of your 10 people outside in the courtyard, i.e. there's a doorway between them, there's a wall, whatever it is, they don't count together as a minyan. They say, hang on a second, this sounds like a stir on the Shulchan Aruch. A few moments ago, we quoted the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we started off, we said, first of all, he told us if there's a partition between them, that doesn't count. That was Yud Gimel. Then he told us in Yud Dalet, actually, if there is a partition, as long as they can still see each other, right, Marel and Panav, that they would actually join together. So what becomes relevant seems to be that you can see each other. In Seif Yud Chet, which we just read, seems to go back. Again, he says if some of them are inside, some of them are outside, the partition seems to be the defining factor, then they don't count together. So there are Achronim who explain what the difference is, very simply. In Yud Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch was talking about a case where they can see each other. And in Yud Chet, he's talking about a case where they can't see each other. So certainly, if there's a partition in between and people can't see each other, everybody would agree that would not count, that would not count as part of a minyan. The question becomes, if there is a partition in between and they can see each other, so what we've seen so far is that there's room to say yes, there's room to say no. We can see it's gotten a little bit complicated, but the Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that it's okay. Just to read the Mishnah Berurah here in source number 8, where he told us that it would not count as a minyan when some are inside and some are outside. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes here the Prima Gadim, one of the Achronim, who says that this later case, which we spoke about, saying that it's not good, He says, "Mayri b'she einan ro'in ze et ze," where they can't see each other. "De b'ro'in ze et ze afilu b'shnei batim mamash mitztarfim dumyan de zimun." Again, as long as they can, in the case where they can see each other, we saw that that would be that they could join together, like in the zimun. Nonetheless, Mishnah Berurah concludes. He says, "Yesh machmilin are those that are afilu b'ro'in uvimkomad afilu b'ro'in," that even if they can't see each other, there's room to be. To be stringent in this, he says, "Mokom atchak efshar sheish lakel." But in a case of great need, one could be lenient. What could be a case of great need? A case of great need could be where there's no other way to make a minyan, where you can't all go inside and be in the same room without any difference between. By the way, what we've been discussing until now has been about the case inside, maybe where there's a partition in between. It doesn't necessarily have to be that the people are in separate rooms. And as we said, what concerns us over here is a halachic separation. So it could be that people are standing outside. It could be that people are standing, and we'll see in a moment, people are standing on two different sides of the street. It could be that people are standing in different driveways with the house in between them, or a driveway in between somebody else's property. Though that could be enough for us to say, well, actually, there is some sort of a partition here. And then once again, we would ask the same questions. We've seen so far is that certainly if people can't all see each other, so then it's more problematic. But before we get to the contemporary situation, we'll have a look at this tshuva by the Chida. And the Chida talks about a few hundred years ago, a case where quarantine is not something new, as we said in the first year about coronavirus. We saw how these pandemics have occurred again and again throughout history. And there was a case where in a certain town, where whoever came, this was in Livorno in Italy, and the practice was that any travelers coming from certain parts had to go into quarantine. I don't know if it was quarantine for 14 days or 7 days or what the practice was exactly, but those were the rules. And he discusses a case where you have two groups of Jews that are in different buildings, different rooms, and they're all in quarantine and they can't come into contact with each other. Could they come together and could they count as part of a minyan? So he says, but Lazaretto, that is the name of this quarantine station. So you have two different groups of people. They can't make any contact with each other. So you have six in the one building and four in the other building. So he asks, well, what is the case? He says, to me it seems the mitztafim that they would count together, and you could include them together as one minyan. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but because they can't come together, they aren't able to go from one side to the other. But the king has ruled, the government has said, you know, the NHS of the time has said that they can't be together in the same room. He says that, interesting historical fact is these four, they came to the entrance, they tried to go across and they went out. But he said the fact they came to the door and they could show them their face, they could see each other. So the fact that they're in two separate places, but they can see each other, that would be enough that they could join together. But he goes on and he says, and he emphasizes the fact that it's impossible for them to be together. It's impossible for them to come to the same room. He says, therefore, kevanti kakama poskim nirali smochem. He says he recognizes this is a machloket, but there are poskim who would allow it. And he says, therefore, loit patlu abayim yom mineparei b'tzibur v'lo yishmu kadosh shu kedusha. It sounds like over there the quarantine was 40 days, not just 14. He said, because there would be no other way for them to make a minyan, therefore this would be allowed. And this is an important point as well. And the Chida is saying, this is a machloket. In a shat adchak, we'll allow it. But if it wasn't a shat adchak, if it wasn't extenuating circumstances, and you have the possibility for an ordinary minyan, so that would be better. So that's something to bear in mind as well, in terms of these situations. You know, we're going to say these halachot, and we're going to see, talking about garden minyanim or street minyanim and all these things, if there is a possibility to go to have an ordinary minyan, it's certainly better. And if we go back to a normal situation where there is a possibility for a normal minyan, so it may not be so halachically sound to have these kind of minyans even when they are allowed. But so that was the first point where we see that seemingly as long as people can see each other, that would be okay. But as I mentioned before, different types of separations. And the most problematic type of separation or partition between would be probably a road. Shulchan Aruch says over here in source number 10 that if we have Rashut Rabim, if we have the public domain separating between the two groups of people, then they can't combine together. It says, Yesh mi shomer shim Rashut Rabim mafseket ben shnei batim, enam mistafim b'shum inyan. Then there's no way, even according to those who we've seen till now are lenient. By the way, this halacha is brought from the laws of Zimun, not from Tfilah. So the Zimun, which was more lenient, over there we're going to have a stringency. Certainly by our case, we'd have a stringency as well. When he says here, Rashut HaRabim, the public domain, does that mean the bona fide Rashut HaRabim that we would require for Shabbat, which has to be 16 amot wide, and it's actually quite limited where we find a actual Rashut HaRabim? The Taz says no. This is over here. He says, "Lav dafka l'shut rabim mamashul achav betetzayin amot." Do I think she shvina yachid mafsik ben time? Says even if it's just a private pathway, but it's a pathway, it's a road, it's something like that that separates between the two people, then or between the two groups, then that would not be seemingly that would not be a minyan. And the Minchat Yitzchak goes this as well. Based on that background, that introduction, what would we say today? Now we'll see some fascinating psakim that the contemporary poskim have written regarding this the possibility of the street minyanim in our current circumstances. And again, as I said at the beginning, this is not to endorse or say that whether these things can or should be done at the moment, but just to understand the halakha that if they are allowed by the guidelines, do they constitute a minyan at all? So the first source is Rav Moshe Weiss, who we quoted at the beginning. And he says, first of all, he says yes. He says, as long as the people can see each other, if they're standing on different balconies, in Israel it's been quite common where people are in high apartment buildings and they're standing in different balconies and they go outside and they can hear each other, they can see each other. He says that would be okay. Well, first of all, he says that's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. That was what we saw right at the beginning. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Daled, where he says, "Misha Omed Achrei Beit HaKnesset," right? That was somebody who was standing behind the shul, but he could see them. They would count together as a minyan. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch says, "Yesh Misha Omed." There are those who say it could be Efshar. We mentioned how in the Rashba, he talks about it as Efshar. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say Efshar. He says this is the halacha, and therefore. Says Rabbi Shavai, "Kasher matino halacha mefureshet b'Shulchan Aruch, v'Rama lo chalak alav." We find it explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama didn't disagree. Hatazam again, Avraham Tomchin biador. He says, "Acholek alem kacholek al hashchina." This is the language that we find in earlier tshuvot as well. That somebody who argues against the Shulchan Aruch, when nobody else argues against him, as if he's arguing with the Shechina. This has been accepted as halacha by Israel. Ve'en mashkechin bo b'flat shekach kam nadal apri chadash apri magadim mishnah. He says not only that. Lots of the Achronim pass in this way as well. And he says, "Sof tava, kevan shebeshat adchak askinan," since these are extenuating circumstances. "V'yesh le'olot af lekatchila, efshar letzaref minyan asara derech hatzerot u'mepasot, kasher ro'im v'shomim me'elo et eilo." So he says you have different people in different courtyards or different balconies. They can all see each other. That would be okay, and that could form a minyan. However, going on, he says one exception, which is what we mentioned before. He says if there's a road in between them, if they're on two separate sides of the street, that he would not allow. Let's read the last paragraph. Yeah. Says, I can't be lenient if they have a public domain between them. Says, if we learned this from Zimun, we saw over there, but by Zimun, they were not lenient where there's a road in between. And finally, he says, he says, if it's not a road or a public domain that's between them, but rather it's just maybe a stairwell or a playground or something like that, he says, then he would allow it. There are others that want to rely again on the lenient opinion. But nonetheless, I worry that maybe, as we saw, this is a machloket at the end of the day, and the poskim did allow for extenuating circumstances, but there were some who were stringent. And therefore they say you could have the minyan, but you should bear in mind when you're saying brachot and when you're saying things that maybe it's not actually a minyan. So for example, Rav Sternbach writes about, he says the shlich tzibur, he could say the chazarat hashatz, but when he repeats the amidah, he should have in mind that it may not be tefillah b'tzibur, it may be a tefillah b'yachid, and therefore he should have in mind that it's conditionally that he's davening a tefillat nedava. Tefillat nedava is something we don't really do so much nowadays. The Gemara talks about it, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, that if somebody wanted to, just like you could bring a korban nedava, if it's wanted to bring a voluntary offering, a voluntary sacrifice to Beit HaMikdash, they could do so, that you could make a voluntary tefillah. There has to be reasons for it and certain criteria. As I said, for a number of reasons, we don't do it nowadays. But he says the Shlech Tzibur should have in mind that if they don't actually count together as a minyan, that his would be a tefillat nedava, would be voluntary. And therefore, just to bear that in mind as well. Rav Rimon, who's a Rav, a very prominent Rav in the Dati Lumi world in Israel today, he says that if everybody's standing outside, actually, even if there's a gap of a street, it may be less problematic. Something very interesting. It's source number 15. So it's tefillah b'midrachot. If everybody's standing out on the pavement, and you know, get to England in a moment, but he's talking in Israel, and essentially everybody would be on the pavement, on the public property of the street. He says, "Im yesh asar shalim zetzeh, 10 people standing on the pavement who can see each other, or lefachot asar shalim tashatz, or at least 10 who can see the chazan." He says, then you could daven everything, including chazat hashatz, krat haTorah, bekat kohanim, radrep, and all these extra brachot that would entail. He says, gam im yesh nokvish alve ben shtei kfutzot. He says, even if there is a road in between the two groups. Why? Kevan shekulam botal reshut. At the end of the day, everybody's in the same domain. They're in the public domain. Again, it's not a question, regarding Hilchot Shabbat in terms of carrying. But it's a question in terms of, when we say the public domain, at least in terms of public property, so the pavement and the street as well are all part of the public domain in that sense. And therefore, he says there is no hefsek, there's no partition between them, and therefore they could say that would count as a minyan. Again, he's talking about where everybody's standing on the pavement. If we're talking about people standing on their own private balconies on separate sides of the street, that wouldn't work. Presumably, if we're talking about a situation where everybody's standing on their own driveway and don't get out onto the pavement, and the driveway is not part of the public property, but it's part of the property of the house, and there's a street in between, that would again be problematic. And again, this is not to say that, you know, people should necessarily come out of this and say, okay, we'll go stand on the street rather than standing in the driveway. And again, first and foremost, the guidelines have to be kept in terms of social distancing and all that. With that in mind, there are other poskim who said that taking those guidelines in mind and taking the pikuach nefesh element into account as well, that these kind of minyanim should not be performed at all. For example, Rav Shechter, in America says he came out very strongly against these. Again, this is a psak from 31st of March. So we're going back a couple of months. Again, things may have changed as the situation develops. His opinion may have changed. I don't know if his opinion specifically has changed in terms of this. But he says, first of all, he says all of this whole idea, Anak Rabbi Shavais and others who said, this is Shat Adchak, we can easily rely on the opinions that say you count as a minya. He says, no, first of all, it's not so clear. Yes, the Shulchan Aruch said it, but we saw the Mishnah Brura. We saw there are many poskim who say, no, it's not enough just to be able to see each other. And he says it's all based on the idea of Zimun, where you don't mention Hashem's name. It's not Davar Shebikdusha. And he says over here, Mipashtot kol ha-gmara, and he goes back to the source and goes back to the sugya and the Gemara. He says, Mashma sheli dvalim shebikdusha ba'inan shu kol asar b'cheder echad. He says it would seem more likely that for a Davar Shebikdusha, for saying brachot and brakat kohanim and krat haTorah, etc., you would need all 10 to be in the same room. And like a Zimun. And therefore, he says, "Mina nachon imnua milasot minyanim b'shetach patuach shelifnei abatim achleihem." He says you should not have at all these kind of minyanim, not only because of the halachic reason in that sense, but also ki eino nachon ikanes to sfek sfeika shel sfek bichdei litpalel betzibur. Yeah, you also shouldn't go into any sort of doubtful and of sakana. I see here in the English the translation, it's into a situation of doubtful sakana. Over here in the Hebrew, it says sfek sfeika shel sfek, a doubtful situation of sfek. So I'm not sure if that's a typo there in the Hebrew. If he's just saying, it's probably meant to say sfek sfeika shel sakana. Check that up afterwards. Rav Yitzchak Yosef as well, who's the chief rabbi of Israel, says a similar idea. So we've seen so far three different opinions on this. We saw from one opinion of Rav Shavai saying, halachically, this would be counted as a minyan if it's allowed and if it is safe and there's nothing else that one can do. That's a good way to have tefillah b'tzibur. We saw a sort of intermediary approach saying that it is a machloket. We've got to be careful with it. We'll rely on it because it's extenuating circumstances. But have in mind, maybe we won't say all the brachot, or maybe the shliach tzibur will make it a conditional tzilat nedava. The third opinion we saw, Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Rav Shechter saying no, it should be avoided entirely. And maybe a fourth position, similar to the second position we said before, which is a sort of a middle ground saying that yes, make a minyan like that, but don't say the additional brachot, don't say Chazarat HaShas, don't say Kriyat HaTorah, don't do all the things that are safek. But they would say that that might, may still be a way to say Kaddish, for example. Okay, that's more or less in terms of that idea. In terms of street minyanim, as I said, it is constantly changing in terms of practically speaking, whether one should do it or not. People should remain aware and alert and listen to what the most current up-to-date guidance is. Another idea which has been discussed in situations maybe where it's not practical to go outside or to get together or when people are in isolation or have been in isolation is the question of Zoom. A lot of us are Zoomed out by now, but at the beginning, everybody was logging into Zoom very much. Also, we saw tefillot springing up. And the question came along, can you have a minyan electronically, via Zoom or via these platforms? I think probably the first shiur that I gave about coronavirus before it was before the numbers were as they were in this country was just before Purim. For those who remember, it was a Shabbat afternoon in Magen Avot. I think it was the last Shabbat we had before we closed. Before Purim or after Purim, I don't remember. But we spoke about the question of somebody who was in quarantine. What would they do about hearing the Megillah? I remember over there I spoke and I said that at the moment it's not in Israel was practical because you had about 5,000 people in quarantine already. In this country it wasn't so practical and things, as we know, changed very, very quickly. But so there was a question there that was raised that if somebody was in quarantine by themselves, they had no access to hearing the Megillah from anybody. Could they hear it over Zoom, over Skype? I think at the time we said over Skype. People weren't so familiar with Zoom yet. But that question can be extended, not just regarding the Megillah, but in terms of Kaddish and in terms of Minyan. Two separate questions, right? We're not asking the question now, not whether you can constitute a Minyan by Zoom, but let's say there's a Minyan that's taking place somewhere. There are 10 people in the same room and they are davening. That's over Zoom. Can you answer to Kaddish? Can you answer to Kedusha? Can you answer Amen to those things? And the source that we used back then, the source that we'll go to again over here, is the Gemara Sukkah. The Gemara Sukkah talks about the great shul in Alexandria. The Duplass Stone Shul in Alexandria was two levels, and there was this tremendous, this massive shul. The Gemara says anybody who didn't see it, lo ha'abichvodan shel Yisrael. If you didn't see this place, you didn't see the glory of Yisrael. And it describes how large it was, and talks about how many people could fit inside, over 1 million people. Sometimes you had double the amount that left Egypt, right? 1.2 million people. So how, the Chazan, you're going to have pity on the Chazan who's going to stand there and make his voice heard for over 1 million people. And the answer is obviously he can't make his voice heard for so many. But what they would do is they had these flags, the Gabaim would stand there holding these flags, the Sudalim Biador. When the time came to answer Amen, so they would lift up this flag, and then everybody would answer Amen. The point is, you see over here, that the people in the shul didn't actually hear the bracha, they didn't hear it live, they just knew when it had been said, and therefore they could answer amen. So based on this, can we answer amen to something we hear over Zoom? Can we hear the Megillah as well, would extend, etc. So if Moshe Weinstein has a tshuva regarding Havdalah, he says, "Binyan shmiat Havdalah l'day telefon l'ishanim sit b'beit cholim." The woman sitting in hospital, she can't come to hear Havdalah. Could she hear it through the phone? And he says, "Vaday yesh la lishmoa ala telefon." He says she should certainly hear it like this. Shoter notesh shiotza b'zeh. So it makes sense that she would fulfill her obligation like this. Kidekatavti b'tshuva b'alachaim l'gabei kriyat ha'megillah. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, as I wrote regarding the Megillah, same would be true about Havdalah. And the same would be true. So he does at the end he say there's a bit of doubt, but he says that one can answer amen to a bracha that you hear over a digital format. Important to stress, we're talking about where you hear the bracha live. Obviously, now we know there's a few second delay by any digital medium, but the point is you're hearing it as soon as it's been said. It's not that you're listening to a recording. If you hear a recording of a shiur, sometimes on the radio, they'll broadcast a shiur of somebody, and at the beginning, you know, you hear them taking their water, making a shakol, same, and you're listening to the shiur 3 days later, and you hear that bracha, so you don't answer amen. There's no meaning to that. But if you're hearing it live and you're hearing the bracha, can you answer amen? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says yes. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says actually no. He says you won't, certainly you can't fulfill any obligation by hearing something digitally. And furthermore, he says you shouldn't answer amen. He says the case where in Alexandria, they lifted up the flag so that they would know when the bracha was said. But that's for people that are there, that are in the same room. Truth is, he doesn't explain it fully, but he just says that he implies that somebody who's standing in the same place, you're standing in the same room, you're standing in the same shul, however big it is, maybe you didn't hear, but to know when the bracha was said precisely, you can answer amen. But he says, Masha en ken kshomed lachok, he says, when you're standing very far away, v'shomei al-dei telephone, and you hear it through the phone, through a computer, etc. Nirai le'aniyot ha'ati she'en anot klal amen ha'shul bracha. He says, you should not answer amen to any bracha, dinoka ane amen levatala. Answering amen levatala for no reason. You're just hearing a digital reproduction of the bracha. You're not hearing it from the actual person who said it. Finally, we have Rav Vadia Yosef, approach number three. He has the middle ground who says, you don't have the tshuva inside. He says you can't fulfill any obligation through hearing the bracha or the mitzvah, but you can say amen. So again, that the question here is not whether 10 people in 10 separate places could come together and make a minyan digitally, but if there is a minyan in one place and somebody is listening to that via Zoom or whatever it is, could you answer amen? So we saw different opinions. Contemporary poskim, based on this, have said in our current situation, yes, if you're listening to a live stream, you can say amen. Again, there's not really a huge problem in terms of that. Even if we do have a doubt, you're not mentioning Hashem's name, you're not saying a davar shebikdusha. Where it would become more of a question is maybe if answering kedusha, you know, where you say kadosh 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 and things like that, and when you say Hashem's name as well, what would be the ruling? So Rav Moshe Weiss again over here on source number 27, he says Anashim labim shalim lagabei shemush b'telefon or b'mtzim elektroniim achelim lagabei niyat amen kadosh modim drabanan. So he says, we've been asked the question many times regarding Amen, Kaddish, or Modim, also regarding a Siyam on Erev Pesach. So we have tens of thousands all over the world where the shuls are closed and they're davening by themselves. So he says, again, that's just the question. Can you answer amen? And he quotes the Gemara, which we've seen, the Gemara about Alexandria, and the simple understanding, the simple meaning of the Gemara is, once they saw the flags, they knew when the bracha had been said and when they could answer amen. And in the same way, he says, "Kasha nachlo shomim beladio b'mtzem machlim b'chot utfilot." Lo bizman emet. That's what we mentioned before. When we hear it not at the time, but we hear a recording, so that doesn't have any meaning. But aval kasha ze bizman emet. If shala not amen yesh me'laba gamodim. He says you can answer amen to kaddish and all those things. Again, based on the snorah in the Gemara. And also he says, "She'ena noela tefillah ba'alma." He says, "What are those things? Are just essentially tefillah." When it comes to kedusha, there it's a little bit more complicated, and therefore he says it would be, since those things in kedusha which we're saying Hashem's name in as well, those are taken from psukim from the Navi. So he says, when you say those psukim, you can read them, you know, with the tamim as if you're reading them from a haftarah. Just in order to satisfy all opinions. A similar idea which we find when it comes to slichot. Slichot, when we say the Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim, those can only be said with a minyan. So if somebody is davening slichot without a minyan, for whatever reason, two options. Either is to leave out the Yud Gimel Midot entirely, or if you read them as if you're reading from the Torah, you read them with the Tamim, just as you can read psukim whenever you want. So that's why it's in. So he says, so to have, if a person's listening to a minyan that's in one place, being broadcast via Zoom, you want to answer to the kedusha, you can answer. Better to do it in such a way that it's as if you're saying psukim as well. The more controversial question is, could you make a minyan using the online platform? And as most people probably will guess, the answer, the consensus answer, at this point is no, although there are a number of caveats. Yeruch HaShulchan, interestingly, writing a long time ago, he's not talking about computers, but he says that if you have 10 people, it could be that maybe as long as the 10 people can see each other, wherever they are, if they're in different places, that could be enough to make a minyan, because the primary idea of the, says the Midrashim, that the Shekhinah rests in a person's face. And we see from the Pasuk regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Kikan, all panav, that the skin of his face shone, that the you see over here in the English, the primary location where the Shekhinah rests is upon one's face. And therefore, there was a svarat to say, maybe even 10 people in different places can see each other's faces, that could count somewhat towards a minyan. I would just say that I think we've seen, a lot of people have probably experienced the difference, you know, even though now we can see each other's faces, or some of you have got your cameras on. But, you know, you see somebody's face through a camera, through a screen. It's not the same as seeing the person live. Now I personally have experienced this. Maybe some of you have as well. Over the last few weeks, you know, you walk outside, you know, you see somebody, of course, 2 meters away on the other side of the street, even though you may have seen them every day on Zoom, there's something different. There's something else about seeing somebody live. And that's the idea here. When it comes to a minyan as well, by the way, another halakha where this would be relevant, not our subject tonight, but people have asked regarding Shechianu. The Gemara talks about that when you haven't seen a person for 30 days, you see their face again, you say Shechianu. Nowadays, you know, we see people so often and we don't have the same excitement having not seen somebody for 30 days. And most times we don't say that bracha. But now it's been asked, you know, would you say a bracha once you see a person again? What about if you've seen them for the past 30 days via Zoom? Would you still say a bracha over seeing their face? So not our subject right now. But there's a difference between being in person, being in the same room as somebody, as opposed to just seeing their face over a digital platform. And therefore, most of the poskim say, no. A minyan is when there are 10 people together. It's interesting there, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, Pnei Lacha, very early on, not sure what the source is of this ruling, which was brought in his name, but he wanted to say that there are certain elements of Tefillah B'Tzibur that could still be said even we don't have a bona fide minyan, even if we're just meeting up digitally. So he says, you can see here on source number 30, we have certain doubts as to what is considered one place, is what's considered one voice regarding Tefillah B'Tzibur. And therefore you can't, very important that he says oftentimes, especially recently, people quote these psakim and quote just a line here, a line there without seeing the full picture. So his first point is that no, this does not count as a minyan. You cannot count it as a minyan. Nonetheless, he says, "Amirat kaddish yaton v'kaddish drabanam enam kolalim b'achal v'atala." he says, I think Kaddish doesn't actually have Hashem's name in it, would not be a bracha in vain. Therefore, he says, התקשרות אלקטרונית הזו יכולה לחשב לה כמעין מניין. Therefore, he says there would be room to say this Kaddish as part of a Zoom meetup. He also says, בשעת הצורך, כאשר יש ערך לכך, שכל הקהילה וירטואל תפלה יחד, גם אמירת ברוך הוא, אין בברכה לבטל. He says, also ברוך הוא, even though that would have Hashem's name in it, it would not be a bracha, and therefore he says that you could say it. As I said, this came out very early on. I'm not sure exactly what the source was for this. I don't know if he changed his mind moving forward either, but this was certainly a minority opinion. The vast majority of Poskim, Rav Ashavai, Rav Yaakov Ariel, Rav Rimon, and many others explicitly know, even these kinds of Kaddish and Baruch Hu and things like this could not be said just on a virtual get-together. You would need 10 people in the same place and see each other, as we saw. They're willing to go to leniencies that we might not normally rely on. You know, you can just see each other through the window. You can maybe even standing on two sides of the street under certain conditions on the pavement, as we said, but not virtually. One last point maybe to talk about in terms of this virtual idea, while it would not be a minyan, it would not be tefillah b'tzibur, would there still be value in the whole keilah getting together and whether on Zoom or not on Zoom, davening together or davening at the same time? I'm just going to skip now. There's a few, as I said, people can look through the PDF afterwards, a few changes davening, which we're all used to by now when we daven by ourselves, of certain things which are added or omitted. But one of the points is in terms of the time for tefillah. This will end. Just giving you a taste of what there is to see on your own. Is there a preferred time to daven at home? And this is a halakha again, which has been widely quoted, and people probably heard this as well. By the way, this is what I was referring to at the beginning. You see, Yom Tov number 53 says the Shulchan Aruch, "Ishtadel Adam lepalev b'beit haKnesset im atzibur." The person should try to daven in shul as much as he can. We saw that we said some of the poskim understood that more as an obligation or maybe less. He said, but if a person is unable to, imu anus sheinoy yochol avol b'beit haKnesset, if he can't come to shul, yechaven lepalev b'shach sheatzibur mitpalelim. So he should daven at the same time as the congregation. Says the Rama, v'adim b'bnei adam adarim b'yishuvim v'en leminyan. So too, somebody who lives in a far out community, you know, you're a Chabad Shaleach somewhere on the other side of the world and there's no minyan. V'en leminyan, mikom akom yitpalelu shachrit v'alvit bizman sheatzibur mitpalelim. At the time that there's a congregation elsewhere that they know of, that they are davening, that's the time that you should daven. So this is the idea that first preference is daven with the minyan. Second preference, if you can't daven with the minyan, daven at the same time the minyan is davening. What about if there's no minyan? What about the minyan's closed? Everybody's davening by themselves. Is this still considered? Are you davening at the same time? Then it's as if a tzibur is davening together. Is there still value in this? There are those who said, well, we're talking about a tzibur, there's no tzibur. But Rav Asher Weiss also, he's asked about this. Again, this, we brought the Shulchan Aruch, but it's based on the Gemara and Brachot of Chet. And he says, I haven't found a proof that it would be considered. He says, Sof Tava, Av Shalom Matzati B'Zerayim Ufaleshet, no explicit proof. He says, Nireh Dar'ui Likbo Azman Mesuyam, Shebo Kulam Yitpalu B'Yachad, Av Shekol Echad Yitpalel B'Veito. He says, you should find a time that everybody should daven at the same time, even though they're by themselves. Milvat Skulat HaShah Shal Tzibum Mitpalelim, aside from this merit, the skula that the Gemara talks about is something very practical. I think there is something very helpful in terms of human nature. In this scenario where everybody's davening at home and shuls are closed, we don't have, you know, the times of the davening to guard us. And if we still do have the times on top of our newsletter, it says, if people are by themselves, people don't have to come to shul on time or any time. So maybe, you know, time runs away and you won't daven Kriyat Shema in the proper time. You won't daven Tefillah in the proper time. Rabim yizalzalu b'tefillatan lo yarichu b'karoi kanachon. So maybe people won't treat Tefillah seriously, daven for the right amount of time. So therefore he says, if you're getting together on Zoom, if they can hear each other. Now, one person is the shalech tzibur, so to speak. Not actually, but saying the beginning of each parak or the end of each parak. Also, that could set a nice pace for the tefillah. But more important than that is in terms of zmanei tefillah that everybody should be should take seriously. And with this, just maybe the final point, I think at least in terms of zmanei tefillah, maybe we have a little bit of an opportunity while we're davening at home. You know, there are certain leniencies that we take when we have tefillah b'tzibur, particularly in this country. You know, when it gets dark so late. So oftentimes people daven mincha and maariv together while it's still light, you know, after plaga mincha. And again, those things have basis in halakha for how to do them, and there is what's allowed. And certainly when it's coming in order to do tefillah b'tzibur, even though we might daven shacharit after zman kriyat shema. So we'll put on the newsletter that zman kriyat shema is zman kriyat shema is 8:52. People should make sure to say shema first. And then come to davening. So when people are davening by themselves and don't have the tefillah b'tzibur, that's something to take note of, the times for davening. It's probably preferable in terms of that to daven earlier to get the shema done in time, daven mincha, the time that's the time for mincha, to daven maariv, maybe in a time of maariv that's often out for as well, and to say the shema and all those things in the right time. And can, hopefully, this will all become academic very soon. We should all be able to come back to tefillah b'tzibur in our shuls. Without relying on any coolers or shat adchak or extenuating circumstances, again, when the time allows and when it's safe to do so.
Amen.